Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk with a world-class ocean race preview. Over 100 boats are competing in the 2019 Transpac for this year's 50th edition of this ocean race from Los Angeles to Honolulu. Boats will leave in three starts between Wednesday, July 10th and July 13th and head towards the finish line, sailing nights and days to Diamond Head in Honolulu, 2,225 miles away. Instead of racing against each other, these boats race against their own performance potential. It takes skill and courage for these racing teams and their boats to brave the wind, waves, and weather in the days and nights it takes to finish the race. King Kalakaua inspired the founding of this race in the late 19th century to help promote closer ties between the U.S. mainland and Hawaii. The King Kalakaua Trophy is one of dozens of impressive perpetual trophies and other awards awaiting the fleet after they arrive in Honolulu, with the award ceremony scheduled for Friday, July 26th. This is among the world's great ocean races and attracts some of the world's fastest sailing yachts and some of its most talented offshore racing sailors and a wide variety of offshore sailing adventurers. There are many supportive sponsors of the Transpac race, including Hogue Hospital, Whittier Trust, and Mount Gay. This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk on Sports Byline USA.
The San Francisco Bay Area is the home of the sport of sailing all year round, with winds and weather that give sailors an exciting race. Boat owners in the San Francisco Bay Area know that KKMI is the San Francisco Bay Area's headquarters for bottom painting, rigging, fiberglass repair, and much more. Visit them at KKMI.com.
This is the United States Coast Guard, San Francisco.
At Twin Rivers Marine Insurance, our customers' personal insurance needs are first and foremost. I'm Gary Clausen. Our goal here at Twin Rivers Marine Insurance is to instill a sense of reliability, trust, and confidence in our clients. As marine insurance specialists, we have the ability to shop the market and offer the most comprehensive policy for the most competitive price. Our customer service and attention to detail is second to none. Visit us at boatinsuranceonly.com.
Rubicon Yachts. Quality yachts with brokers you can trust. Yacht sales and acquisition specialists coast to coast. Four West Coast locations with sales docks to serve you. Alameda, Emeryville, and San Francisco in California, and Port Townsend in Washington State. Whether you're looking to sell or buy, Rubicon Yachts is here to help you.
Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, congratulations to the Yacht Racing Association of the San Francisco Bay for the Great Vallejo Race. There are many winners of this race, and we are giving a shout-out to three today. Zamazan of the St. Francis Yacht Club, Encore of the Richmond Yacht Club, and Golden Moon of the Ensignal Yacht Club. This race is one of the largest inland regattas in the United States, with more than 130 boats participating, and started in 1925. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk.
Oh, come now, don't be ashamed. We all have our idiosyncrasies.
I wish you would try and slap Rick Tittle's mama's face. He would clown you.
All right, what is that all about? Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world, on American Forces. It's 9:40. It's Tuesday. We're with our friend from Sail Sport Talk. It is Karen Lyle. And Karen, let's bring in our first guest, Pete Melvin, a boat builder, a world-class sailor. He joins us live from Newport, California, and of course, skipper of AC-45 foiling boats. What is it about these AC-45s, Pete, that they literally almost seem like they float on top of the water?
Well, they do, in fact. They're up on hydrofoils once you get up to a certain speed, and that reduces drag and makes the boat go faster, smoother, and more fun.
You know, Pete, when we were talking last time on the show, you told me that you were going to be the first person to take the AC-45 on this ocean race, Newport to Ensenada. Was that indeed what happened?
Yes. A couple Fridays ago, we started the Newport to Ensenada race. It's the largest offshore race in Southern California. They usually get a couple hundred boats. And So we raced the AC-45. The AC-45 is a 45-foot catamaran that they used for some of the lead-up series to the America's Cup, in the last America's Cup. And they're fully foiling catamarans, very similar to the America's Cup boats they used last time.
But, I'm curious, Pete, when you have a boat like this before and after the race, you know, it doesn't have a sail. Like in my sailboat, you can take the sail down when you're on a mooring ball or, you know, at a dock, and you don't have the wind pushing it around. But this has a hard wing. It's a, what is it, carbon fiber? And what happens to that? How do you keep it from flying off or hitting something when it's not in the race?
That's a great question, Karen. It's not like a normal boat where you can just park it at a mooring or a dock, because as the wind shifts, the wing might catch wind and the boat might try to sail away on its own. So you have to have a special mooring that keeps the boat pointed into the wind and doesn't allow it to surge back and forth. So the whole launching and logistics and mooring of these boats is a bit of a work in progress. And that's one thing. This is the first time, you know, we, or I think anyone else, has done an offshore race in these kind of boats. So dealing with all those logistics was a big learning curve for us. But now that we've done it, have a lot more knowledge about, you know, what to do and a lot more confidence in handling the boat in those kind of conditions.
Pete, I think it's interesting that you also have been involved in writing the rule AC-72, AC-62. What does that mean to the neophyte when you write a rule?
Well, in the America's Cup, the whoever last won the America's Cup, the current America's Cup champion, gets to determine what type of boat the next America's Cup will be in. And so in after 2010, when Larry Ellison's Oracle team won, they hired my firm to work with the them, with the Oracle team and the other America's Cup teams to come up with a new class of boat. And so we developed a concept and then refined it with a big group. And then once the concept was finished, we wrote rules around it, you know, what the sort of limits of what you can do within the class rule. And so we've done that two times, both times after Oracle 1 in 2010 and 2013.
And we just have about 30 seconds. I always love how guys and gals come up with names for their boats. We just have about 30 seconds. Where did you come up with Mama Tried?
I don't know. It's just a song I liked, and it's a trimaran. So it's, normally boats have female names. So Mama Tried.
That's the sailor's punny.
Right.
All right, Pete, thanks for being on. We really appreciate that. It's Pete Melvin, boat builder, world-class sailor from Newport, California. And now in studio, we are joined by Paul Kamen. He is a columnist with Latitude 38. He is a naval architect as well and the sailing science guy. Forget Bill Nye. It's all about you, isn't it, Paul?
Right. And as Bill Nye would say, I have a master's degree.
So, Paul, you just raced in the Great Vallejo race, I think. Was it this last weekend? That happened at the same time as the SailGP race.
I know. SailGP sucked a lot of entrants away from Vallejo race this year. I decided I would rather be a participant than a spectator.
That often happens. So when you've gone out and sailed, you've done, 22 ocean races to Hawaii, I think. When you're out there in the middle of the ocean and you're on a boat with your crew and you have a destination and days to get there, what is it like to eat on the boat when you're having to prepare food in the middle of a race?
Well, it's a little like camping. Everything tastes better. My favorite late night snack, you know, we're one of the most common questions I get is, what do you do at night? Well, of course, you can't anchor. It's a mile deep. So we're sailing around the clock in shifts. And my favorite snack for getting through those long night watches is Trader Joe's dark chocolate-covered espresso beans. This is my drug of choice.
I love those, actually.
This segment brought to you by Trader Joe's, by the way. You know, it's interesting, Paul. I see that you're a forensic naval architect, and that to me, I would think, is someone who would like find the keel of the Golden Hind and then reconstruct it. Am I close?
Something like that. My best clients are lawyers who are litigating serious jet ski accidents, usually working opposite jet ski manufacturers for various product defects. So I found lawyers to work for who are on the right side of evil.
Gotcha. It is so these Sea-Doos and things like that.
Yeah, and there's a problem with steering when the thrust is taken off. You know, they steer by redirecting the water jet coming out of the propulsion nozzle. So if you see something scary, you'll release the throttle and try to steer out of the way. And of course, as soon as you release the throttle, there's no steering. So it's a little bit like driving a car that disconnects the steering wheel when you take your foot off the gas, and there are no brakes.
No, I've been on one of those, and you're absolutely right. That is true.
There's a more fundamental problem than that, and that is there's only one thing to do that's any fun with a jet ski, and that's act like an idiot.
Go fast, yeah.
No, well, we were on the chase boat on Thursday before the Sail GP race, following those F-50s. You and I were in the back and the less bouncy part behind the captain, right? And you were trying to take photographs. What was that like?
Well, I didn't get anything good. Way too bouncy.
It was very fast. I will tell you, those boats were amazing.
It is interesting, too, I think, that we take sort of for granted how tides can affect a race. I mean, I can obviously, you can think about trade winds and things like that, and if a nor'easter is coming in. But what about the tide? How do you measure that?
Well, it's funny with the fast multi-hulls, because, you know, with conventional sailboats, which are going maybe 5 or 6 knots upwind or 7 or 8 knots downwind, we look for favorable current. Tacking upwind up the city front, we try to get the early ebb or stay out of the strongest flood. Going downwind, we look for tide going with us. With a catamaran, it can be just the opposite, because the speed is so sensitive to the roughness of the water. So going upwind, a catamaran racer might look for a flood current, because the velocity gradient of the water will flatten out the waves, and they can go much faster in the smooth water in the flood. And then going the other way, they look for the ebb, because the ebb current increases the relative wind speed over the water. Hmm. And because these boats go faster than the true wind downwind, more wind, if you increase the wind and the current, that is, increase the favorable wind and increase the adverse current by the same amount, you'll still go faster to get to the leeward mark. So it turns the usual strategy on its head.
I wanted to ask you about, did you see the Robert Redford movie, All Is Lost?
Oh, yes. We use that as...
we talk about that one.
Is that how much does that ring true, some of that?
That's being shown at the Safety at Sea seminars. We give everyone a clipboard, and they write down all the things he's doing wrong. But my big problem with the movie was that they didn't show the sunsets or the sunrises. If you watch that movie, you'd come away thinking, why would anybody do this? It's boring.
But he gets, like, the fiberglass out, and he paints it over with the glue.
Yeah, well, some of that was well done. But I think the problem is they must have had the crew working on day shift, and they could never get a good sunset or a good sunrise photo, which would
they filmed a lot of it in a tank.
A pool.
I heard
they destroyed 3 Cal 39s to make the movie. The movie I would send people for as the antidote to All Is Lost is the Spencer Tracy, The Old Man and the Sea. Mm. That has wonderful photography.
What is, if you can share with us, maybe a perilous or All Is Lost May Day situation you found yourself in?
Well, in the 08 race, we hit a whale.
Ooh.
But that was worse for the whale than for us.
Okay.
You know, we were sailing along in the morning at maybe 7 knots, and in the space of about 2 feet, we went from 7 knots to zero. I was in a quarter berth and kind of did a Superman exit from the quarter berth. And
so it's like hitting a brick wall.
Oh, it's like hitting a soft brick wall. It's like hitting a giant sandbag.
It's like hitting a whale.
Yeah.
And, that's sad, actually.
Do they get damaged?
He's had worse.
We don't know if the whale was injured or not. There's no way to know.
What is the just the first mistake that a neophyte says? I'm taking my boat. I'm going to Hawaii by myself. What's the first mistake?
Probably thinking they can learn how to sail from a book.
Hmm.
Or actually, there's a more fundamental mistake, and that's starting with a big boat.
Mm.
The best boat to start with is an 8-foot dinghy, like an El Toro or an Opti,
to Hawaii,
something very small.
8 feet.
Well, no, you wouldn't start sailing to Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
You would pay your dues in a small boat, preferably a small boat that can capsize.
Inland, to start with.
Yeah. The thing is, a small boat in a moderate amount of wind behaves very much like a big boat in a storm. So if you learn, say, in a 14-foot planing dinghy and learn to handle it in 20 knots of wind, mm-hmm. then when you're out in your 40 or 50-foot boat, in a full gale or 50 knots of wind, mm-hmm. you'll already have the muscle memory. You'll understand the dynamics. You'll be able to handle the boat safely. But too often people learn to sail late in life, and they don't want to be in a little boat that'll capsize, and they have more money than that they want to spend on this, so they end up with a big boat with a steering wheel and all the instruments and never really learn it from the ground up. And if they are caught in a storm, they have no idea what the dynamics are doing to them.
Great stuff from Paul Kamen in studio. Make sure to read his column in Latitude 38. Come on in again. We'd love to have you. It's great stuff.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Good stuff. That's Karen Lyle, Sales Sport Talk. Good to see you, Karen.
It's really good to see you, Rick. And we'll see you next week at 9:37 on Tuesday.
I got this song for you here.
I like it.
A little yacht rock, a little crisscross,
yeah.
Applesauce. All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.
I really like it.
Thank you.